Right, okay, I think we'll make a start. Ed sends his apologies, he can't be here this evening. But I thought we would this evening look in John chapter 15, from verse 18 through to chapter 16, verse 4. And so we're going to be looking this evening at how the world hates, how Jesus warned us that the world would hate us. And just trying to draw some lessons out from that. And then hopefully we can discuss some points arising from it. So if we read John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. This is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. So, Martin, would you pray for us, please? Amen. Okay, so here in this passage, Jesus tells his disciples that they need to expect that they will be hated in this world and they will suffer rejection for the sake of Christ. And I think there are two main ways in which this passage is helpful. One is to help those of us who are already Christians to know what we should expect so that we are not thrown when we do experience opposition. And also for any who are not yet believers so that they will be able to handle well, that they'll know what's involved in being Christian, and they will not think, they will not make a false profession of faith which they're not prepared to follow through on when things get difficult for them. So we'll go through sort of pretty much verse by verse, and then we'll open up for discussion in a while. So first of all, verses 18 and 19, Jesus says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world." So Jesus is really saying to his disciples that they should not be surprised if the world hates them. And of course, when he's speaking to his disciples, he's also speaking to us as his believers in the present time as well. Now, when he says the world here, the term the world is used in two ways in the Bible. Sometimes it's used in a neutral way, just simply to talk about, the whole earth and or all the inhabitants of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's really just talking about the whole world. But very often in John's Gospel, and indeed throughout the Scripture, the term the world is used to speak of mankind as in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God. And I think that's clearly the sense that Jesus means it here. The world as it is opposed, or mankind as it is opposed to Christ. So he says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. There is an attitude in the world, a general attitude of hatred towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to remember. If as Christians we find ourselves being hated by the world, we need to remember that, in fact, the world first hated Jesus. Why does the world hate Jesus? Well, the world hates Jesus because Jesus exposes the sin of the world. If we just look back to chapter 7 and verse 7. Jesus says to his brothers, who at that point didn't believe in him, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify that what it does is evil." See, the world, this world, is set on evil, and Jesus testifies to the world that what it is doing is evil, and people don't like it. And they'll hate us, the world will hate us who belong to Christ, because of our association with the Lord Jesus Christ. By naming the name of Jesus, by identifying ourselves with Christ, we are identifying ourselves with the one who exposes the sin of this world. Moreover, as we live as we should live, and as we speak of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, which involves speaking about sin, then we ourselves also will become those who are exposing the sin of this world. We're obviously not perfect ourselves, and we often sin ourselves. But as we become like Christ, and as we speak about God's word, So we will find ourselves more and more in opposition, if you like, or experiencing the opposition of this world. Now, Jesus says to his disciples that they do not belong to the world. If you belong to the world, he said, then it would love you as its own. But they no longer do belong to the world. They used to belong to the world, but they don't belong to the world any longer, because the Lord has taken them out of this world. Well, he's chosen them to not belong to the world anymore. He says, I've chosen you out of the world. Not that he's taken his disciples out of the world. They're still living in the world, but they don't belong to the world anymore. Jesus has chosen them to belong to himself. And the idea of being chosen by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ, is a theme that runs through so much of John's Gospel. And we've got it just in this chapter, just a few verses earlier, chapter 15 and verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. And we also had it in chapter 6, verse 70, where Jesus said to the disciples, have I not chosen you, the 12, yet one of you is a devil? So the disciples, Jesus' children, were those who belong to Jesus. They are chosen by Jesus, and we're chosen to belong to him, and we're chosen to not be part of this world, not belong to this world, but to be different from this world. And the world knows that. They can sense that. They can sense that we used to belong to the world, but we now belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This world is in rebellion against Jesus, and so we who've, as it were, switched sides from rebellion against Jesus to allegiance, we are treated really as traitors, if you like, to this world. So he says, because you don't belong to this world, because I've chosen you out of this world, that is why the world hates you. And it goes on, verse 20, remember the words I spoke to you, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. So, Jesus is here referring back to chapter 13 when he washed his disciples' feet. And he said to them, no servant is greater than his master. So if I, who am your Lord and of your master, if I wash your feet, how much more should you do so? Well, here he's taking that same saying and he's applying it to this whole area of being hated by the world. And he's saying, look, if they persecuted me, if they hated me, how much more are they going to hate you? How much more are they going to persecute you? And remember, he said something similar in Matthew's Gospel, how he said, you know, if they called the head of the household Beelzebub, how much more will they insult the members of his household? And if, on the other hand, he says, they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. In other words, people's attitude towards Jesus will reflect in their attitude towards us. If they love Jesus, they'll love us. But if they don't love Jesus, then they won't love us. Because we, as Jesus' people are so closely identified with him, the attitude that people have towards Jesus will reflect in the attitude that they have towards us. And then he continues, verse 21. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. And here we see that at the bottom line, the root, so we're tracing back the hatred of believers. Hatred of believers, where does that come from? It comes from a hatred of Christ, a rejection of Christ. Hatred of Christ, rejection of Christ, where does that come from? Well, it comes from rejection of God himself, the Father. He treats you that way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. Now, this is really quite a strong indictment that Jesus is making, because the people who were persecuted, you know, the people had in mind at this time, of course, would have been the Jews, who would have said that they were believers in God. They would have said that they were followers of God, that they were worshippers of God. But what Jesus is saying is, if they do not know Jesus and they don't recognize Jesus, don't love Jesus, that is because they do not actually know the one who sent Jesus. They do not know the Father. And what we find so often in the history of Christianity is that the strongest opposition to Bible-believing Christians has come from those who claim to be believers in God. Well, of course, we know there have been times of persecution by atheists, particularly under communism, and we looks like we're starting to get sort of persecution by atheists in this country. People like Richard Dawkins calling those who teach the Bible to Christians, about the Bible to children, guilty of child abuse. So that makes me a guilty of child abuse, because I do what he tells, which says we shouldn't do. I do tell children that they must believe in Christ, and if they don't believe in Christ, they'll go to hell. So that makes me, and probably many of the other people in this room, child abusers by that token. And that's going to rub off on our society, and there's going to be hatred of Christians in our society. But most often, persecution of Christians actually comes from those who call themselves believers in God. And historically, that was from the Jews initially. Then in the Middle Ages, very often it was from the Roman Catholic so-called church. And in more recent times, we're seeing it much more from a number of Muslims. They claim to know God, but the sad reality is that they do not know God at all. They do not truly know him. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. So, this rejection of Jesus and rejection of the Father is all the more culpable, all the more blameworthy, for the fact that Jesus has come and he has spoken to them and he has done great miracles, and yet they still refuse to believe. They were already guilty before, but now they're even more guilty. Now they have no excuse for their sin. Verse 23, he who hates me hates my Father as well. Now that's, again, a very, very strong saying, isn't it? The person who hates Jesus hates the Father. So many people who will say that they love God, in the name of God, they are persecuting Christians. But the truth is that they don't love God at all. They hate God. Verse 24, if I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and the Father. So, there's absolutely clear evidence that Jesus really is the Son of God, that Jesus really is the one that they should believe in, but they have seen his miracles, and yet they've still hated Jesus, and they still hated the Father, and they still hated those who trust in the Lord. And so he says, this fulfills what was written in their law, verse 25, they hated me without cause. So that's a prophecy, prophecy found in Psalm 69, which actually has a number of messianic prophecies in it. Now then, verse 26 and 27, Jesus says, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus is saying here that the Holy Spirit, Comforter, when he comes, he will testify about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we who are believers, we also must testify about Jesus. Now we might think, well, given that this world is so hostile to Jesus, maybe we better just keep quiet about him and hope that we won't get into too much trouble. Maybe we better be sensitive to people's hostility towards Jesus and just not really say too much about him. But no. Jesus says, you must testify. We have this obligation to testify to the Son, even though he is hated so much. Well, then going on to chapter 16 and verse 1, Jesus says, all of this I have told you so that you will not go astray. Jesus told his disciples in advance what was going to happen so that they would not go astray. Perhaps we could think in a moment or two about perhaps how we might perhaps be tempted to go astray as the Lord's people. But Jesus says, look, I've told you this so that you don't go astray. And then chapter 16, verse 2, it says, they'll put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. Jesus is warning his disciples that they'll be put out of the Jewish synagogue, and in more recent times we've seen Bible believing Christians put out of churches, and people saying that what they're thinking is doing, they're doing, people doing it because they actually think they're offering a service to God. They actually think they're serving God by persecuting in that way. But he says, those who do such things, verse 3, they will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. So we see again how there can be those who claim to know God, but actually have no genuine saving knowledge, no true knowledge of the Father, no true knowledge of Jesus. Verse 4, I've told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first, So Jesus gave this teaching to his disciples so that when these things would happen, they would know, they would remember what he'd said, and they would be warned, and they would know how they should respond. Okay, well that's all I've got to say.